Production. Recorded live.
All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night conference call. And tonight we're going to continue to look at the grand jury. We're going to talk a little bit about our court case, and we're also going to talk about the workshop that we got coming up at the end of this month. First off, I'd like to just mention, we've been moving along the web pretty good. The website's been really getting a lot of hits, and we had on last week's program, we had 1,770 downloads, so that's how many people, I guess, listened to the last Monday night's broadcast. But in any event, tonight, just real quick, sort of an update on our court case. We have a common law court case going on up in Albany. We filed a complaint, an action at law in a court of record on the governor. We sued the governor and the legislators, both houses, and we sued them for treason. We brought up U.S. codes, and we sued them for them to get out and correct the problem. we're going to look a little bit more at that court case. They haven't responded yet, but the judge responded, and he tried to throw it out. And so he answered, let's see, I'm just opening to the page right now. Okay, he responded with a decision and order on 5/21. And we got that. Now, I don't know why it took so long to get to us, but we didn't get that until maybe about 27 or 28. But on the 30th, we responded back with a writ of error, and we rescinded his order. And then we brought forth our own motion, our own decision and order. And we also denied all the motions that the defendants put forward to try to have the court case thrown out. And we did amend the case with something we found recently, the Dick Act, which was done, I believe, in 1902. And we think it might help to strengthen our case anyway. But anybody that wants to look at that case and read that case, you can go up to newyorkcommitteeman.org on the left side. You can click on lawsuits. And it's the first one on the left tab on that page. It says Second Amendment. And you can read the entire lawsuit. You can read the complaint right on through. Just to get a little information on the on our workshop, we were going to do four workshops in four different locations in New York. We were going to do 4 8-hour days on the last two weekends of this month. I believe we were going to do one in Long Island. We were going to do one in Westchester, one just north of Albany, and one out in Monroe County or Livingston County. but because of logistics, we still don't have a lot of the paperwork in yet. We've got a lot of reports verbally of papers coming in, but nothing really. We really haven't got a lot of what's being said is going to come. Hasn't got here yet. And so to work out the logistics, to locate a place, first of all, we need to know how many people are coming and how much food to order and so on and so forth. So we started looking into go to your webinar, I think it's called. It's a webinar program. I think it's go to your webinar. And we started playing around with that this week, and it looks pretty good. So we decided what we're going to do is we're going to have the workshop on the internet through GoToYourWebinar. And that'll open it up for everyone in the country because this workshop will be good for everybody. It doesn't matter what state you're in, it's still the same thing. And pretty much the focus of the workshop is going to be really focusing in on teaching the right kind of a mindset you need to have and to understand liberty. So that's going to be a good portion of the workshop. The other part of the workshop will be the process. How do we go about electing a grand jury in our counties? What's the process? What's the procedure? How could we make it in such a way that they can't deny that the people have spoken and have chosen to have their own common law grand jury in their counties. So we kind of put together a good program for that, I believe. And really, I'll just kind of give it in a nutshell as quick as I can. But basically, what we're going to do is we're going to do this hopefully in all 62 counties at the same time in the same week. And we will run an election for the people to come out to choose to have a common law grand jury in their county. Now, they're not electing the individuals or the people. They're electing the fact that they want to reinstate a common law grand jury. That's what the election is about. And we kind of put a little program together, which we'll share with everyone at this workshop. And it's probably about a 40-minute program. It'll probably start, one evening during the week. We'll secure the town hall in the county seat. And, it's only a matter of making a phone call and just securing it for this election. And then we will put notices up, a legal notice concerning the election, in every town and city bulletin board in the town halls throughout that county. And of course, we'll put the information at a certain time, what the election is for and what time it's for, and so on and so forth. And we'll also pull out newspaper ads that there's going to be election for this purpose, and it'll be posted in all of the local newspapers in the county. And then we will have the election on that particular evening, whatever time you want to set it up. I think maybe between 7 and 8 o'clock. It's probably going to be about a 40-minute event. And basically, it's going to be very simple. But basically, we put together a couple of short videos and a very short PowerPoint, which is done on a video as a video. And people can change that around if they want. But what we want to do is educate the people on the grand jury. And we want to talk to them about liberty and that kind of a thing. And so we would play those videos. And like I said, they're pretty short. Then two or three people might want to talk, maybe a two-minute speech or whatever they want to do. And then just a showing of hands. People would raise their hand, all those in favor of, having a common law grand jury in this county. And after they've seen the video, they'll be a little educated on the process and why it's so important and so on. And then we take a hand count, any against, we take a hand count, we record the voting. And we'd have at least three people, could have more, but three is the minimum, that would do an affidavit swearing to what they had seen and what the process and how it was put together and so on and so forth concerning the election or the voting in favor of establishing a common law grand jury in that county. We will then offer, we'll offer all of the people that have come to sign up to become grand jurists also. And we'll put together a special program for them so that they can, sort of become educated in the mindset. That's the most important part. And the process won't be that necessary anymore, but that'll be available for people if they want it. So probably 4 hours instead of 8 hours. And we'll put a program together for that. And then we'll have a jury pool. So really what we're going to have is we need 25 people minimum per county, but we need a jury pool. Maybe we'll have 50, 60, 80, 100, 200, 500, whatever, as many people as possible participating. And each county can kind of put it all together and create trial jurists as much as grand jurists. And then when people are called up to serve as a grand jurist or as a trial jurist, if they're busy, they can't make it, make the next phone call to the next person. But this kind of frees a lot of people up, for those who maybe can't put too much time into this, but can put some time into it. And when they're free, they can participate. But anyway, so we do want to, this will be a continuing thing, trying to get more people involved in this grand jury. And again, at this election process, we want to put the message out to those people and bring them into the process if they're interested. And we'll talk a little bit about duty to them, maybe. And, you know, this is their duty, everybody's duty, to do what they can and to make sure we have a process that is run by the people and not by this insane government or group of people running our government that we have. But anyway, getting back to the process. Okay, so we have the election. We're going to videotape it. And we'll have three witnesses sign an affidavit. All the people will go out, like in my county, there's about, we were talking about this. We don't have to do villages. We just got to do towns and cities in your county. So my county is maybe about 17 towns and cities. And so if there's at least 25 of us, one person would take the paper to file the notice in that particular town or a particular city. But then they would come back after they filed the notice on the bulletin board in the town. They'd come back and swear to it, or they'd sign their name on a paper that they're swearing to the fact that they posted this sign at a certain time, a certain date, and at this place. And so we'll have that as a proof of filing the notices in every town. We'll have the copy of the newspaper that we filed in the notice of the election. We'll have the conclusion of the election. We'll call the newspapers the following morning and give them the rundown on what the decision was by the people. They'll make a notice in the newspaper. We'll take those clippings out and we put that together. We have a declaration put together. Each grand jury, each county will have a county seal, which we've kind of created that. We'll be showing that to people at the workshop. And, you know, it'll cost about $40. We'll lay out the money, you know, to go buy the seal. You can get it at Staples or numerous other places. And then the state will reimburse each county for that seal and some other things that'll be necessary. But in any event, we'll have one of the top papers will be a declaration of the fact that there was an election and, you know, kind of talk about the process. We've already written that up. Underneath that would be five pages of really what would you call that? It would be the the proof of a grand jury. I can't think of the word right now, but the information, for instance, the court cases and other authorities, the authorities, by what authority we're doing this. And it's about five pages of authorities. And then, of course, like I said, the newspaper clippings, copy of the video, the affidavits, and the swearing of everyone that it was placed in the proper places in every one of these towns and cities. We'll duplicate this. We'll make four originals, okay? One will be filed with the county clerk. Another one will be found filed with the court clerk in your county, and that'll serve them notice. And the one that goes to the court clerk would be served by sheriff. We go pay the sheriff the $20-$30, whatever it is that they charge to serve papers. We'll go pay that. We'll have the sheriff serve it. Now, that one will have a cover letter, which, again, we've already written out the cover letter also. And the cover letter will explain basically what's in the package, and that the people have decided to elect themselves back into the common law process and to get this procedure back into their courts and into their counties. And it'll be a letter that'll be signed by the foreman. We'll choose a foreman in each county, and that foreman will sign it. And basically the letter will go on to speak about the necessity for someone, for the court county, the court clerk to give a call so that we can get access into the court building, get the necessary ID cards for those who will be spending, you know, working this process more often than others, and access into the jury room. And then once that's done, then we'll be acknowledged. Now, they can't deny us, and the judge has no business sticking a nose into the process, so he can't say anything. And if he does, we've got a process to deal with him also. But I doubt he will, especially when they find out that there are 62 counties filing for the same thing all across the entire state. So once that's filed, we now just set up an authority. The authority... the rights of the people through common law to do this is part of the authority. The election by the people in that county is a part of that authority together. and the declaration of the process that took place and all of the affidavits, and it can't be denied. So once we get in, we get acknowledged by the court itself. We'll want to talk with the judge. And, of course, we're not out there for a witch hunt. We're not out to do anything to the judge. We just want to talk with him. And I'm sure, you know, we can find a way. We'll befriend him, and I'm sure he's going to bone up on the common law because it's a common law grand jury. I think they'll give us all the right answers, and then we'll watch him like a hawk. The next step would be to call in the sheriff, maybe make friends with him, let him know that we just want to make contact because there hasn't been a common law grand jury in quite some time, and we should be talking with him. So come on down, let's have a chat. And we'll have booklets made up. We've got those written already. We just have to get them, pumped out, a few thousand of them or something, and we'll send maybe 100 or two to each foreman in each county, and we'll make sure that every grand jurist gets one, make sure that all the anybody that's on the regular jury gets one, make sure that the judge gets one, the sheriff gets a couple, one for him and his deputies, and also the prosecutor. But in any event, as far as the sheriff is concerned, we want to befriend the sheriff. We want to let him know that we're there to support him. In New York, it's kind of unique because the sheriff is under a lot of stress and pressure from all kinds of lawyers and the prosecutors, and then one's going this way, another one's going that way, and then the governor has been putting pressure on them. And we just want to let the governor know, let the sheriff know that we're going to be behind him. And in order for the governor to do anything and to push anything for an indictment or anything, they're going to have to come through us. And as long as he's supporting the Constitution, and we don't care about statutes, they're not law anyway. As long as they're doing that, we're right behind them. Now, I know the president, the administration is given a problem to the sheriffs. They got this special force they're putting together to go out after what they call rogue sheriffs, which really aren't rogue sheriffs at all. They're the rogues, not the sheriffs. But any of these sheriffs that are not going to obey the law and not enforce the law because they prefer obeying the real law, which is the Constitution. And we'll be behind him on that and let him know that if he should desire to arrest these federal agents as they cross his county border, we'd have no problem indicting them for them. And that's how we're going to take back our county. Now, the other thing is to meet up with the prosecutors and to discuss business with them. And I think one of the key things with the prosecutors is let them know that, you can't use a puppet jury no more. You can't use a puppet grand jury no more. If the people are going to be brought up on some charges by the government, you got to bring them to the people, and the people will decide. And we're not going to let them play their fraud game that they're citizens. But they're not smart enough to know that anyway. They're just useful idiots, and they just execute the process, and they've been taught this in school and so on and so forth. So that's how we're going to correct the problems in New York State. Once we correct our local problems and we gain control of our courts, we move our courts back into a common law process, and we get the people to decide who's going to be indicted and who's not, no more puppet grand juries, no more puppet juries, then it's time to set our face towards the north and head towards Albany. And the idea, of course, there is to come together as 62 grand juries. And we're going to sign a paper. We're going to tell the give orders, so to speak, to the legislators and what it is that they have to do. And it'll be signed and stamped by 62 grand juries. So we'll have 62 seals on it and 62 signatures. And we will deliver it ourselves by hand to every single legislator in Albany. And they will be served. And then they will do what the people want them to do, which is bring us back to a constitutional state. Once that's accomplished, the governor's not a problem anymore because he's really only administrator. Right now he's got a lot of power and clout, puts these people under pressure, but we're going to take that away from him, so he's not going to be a problem anymore. So with that, that pretty much brings the whole state into order, and then we need to just deal with the business at hand as a grand jurist. There's some other ideas and thoughts that we have to deal with, but we're not going to get into them right now. But that's kind of the big picture. That's how we're going to win the authority. That's how we're going to be recognized by the county, by the people, by the courts. And the process is that the prosecutor will bring people to the grand jury for a potential indictment. The grand jury will review it. They'll look for, they'll try to find the injured party. If they can't find an injured party, then they'll just ignore it and move to the next case. The other thing is presentments. Grand jury on their own decision-making process could go and investigate something. And if they see something that they believe needs to be dealt with, they do a presentment. And a presentment is passed on to the court, and a process goes by. First of all, the grand jury has the ability to call and send a summons to the individuals they want to investigate and talk to. The grand jury, if they don't show up, then they go to the judge, and they have the judge send out a summons from the court with his signature on it. And then they will be commanded by the court to come to talk to the grand jury. If they don't come after the second summonsing, then the judge is obligated to then put out a warrant and to have those people arrested and brought before the grand jury. Of course, they'll be let go once the grand jury gets to talk to them. But that's the process. And it's the same process whether it is an indictment or whether it is a presentment. And a presentment, again, it's the same thing as an indictment, so to speak, except for the grand jury initiated, it wasn't initiated by the state. So that's the process, and that's how it works, and that's the authority flow. With that, I guess I'll unmute. I won't unmute the mics. Anybody wants to pick up the mic, anybody wants to talk, hit *8, and your hand will go up. And we see when your hand is up, we'll unmute you, and you'll have the mic. Okay, I got a call from Washington, and you're unmuted. How you doing?
Yeah, John, this is Bob Steiner out in Washington.
How you doing, Bob? Yep, I remember.
Yeah, we talked a couple of days ago. And I've been doing a lot of homework, and I actually was talking to that lady. I guess I forgot her name, but she's out there in New York. And I was expressing the process and procedures that you kind of outlaid, you went through a couple of seconds ago. It sounds logical. I guess I still have some concerns, and I'm sure I'll pick it up as we go along on what forces. You say we have the authority, but yet I see this massive legal system behind the state and behind the government as it is right now. And you got, in your case, 62 times 25, so you got a couple of thousand people that represent common law. What is it that's going to make the existing system recognize and then comply with the grand jury of common law? I guess I'm lost with the stick that you're using or something to make this happen.
Right.
Am I describing it correctly? I'm not sure.
I understand what you're saying. Well, first of all, we're doing this in 62 counties, not just one.
Right.
So they have a lot of counties to deal with. Some counties will fold a lot quicker than others. And the ones that don't fold so quick, they're going to be seeing the other counties folding, and they're going to get a little worried. So there's a couple of things. Because we're working in unison, we're working together as 62 grand juries, working together. And again, I know from Michigan, some of the people there, what they're doing, and they've established this already in their state.
Really?
They also share from counties. If they're short one place, they'll get people from the county next door and they'll work things out. So we could do that too. We could be creative as we establish this grand jury.
What made that very first one fall and comply? What was it that was the impetus behind the movement back to common law? Was it just the idea that, hey, we are in recognition that they are in the wrong? Or was it fear? What was the fear in place?
I don't know exactly the details on that, and I will talk with that individual to get some of those details to see where they're at, what they're doing, and so on. So I really don't know. But what I do know is about what we're doing and what common law is and how it works. And here's, let me just get back to the original question on how we go about making these people obey. Look at, the people have spoken. It is the people that did the election. They can never deny that, okay? So now, this would be if a judge, the judge doesn't have the authority to say no. He doesn't have that authority. It's the process that must accept us. And if a judge tries to step in and get in the way, which I heard a federal judge did do that in a district in a particular state, the problem is they didn't know what to do. You see, we're not just a group of people who just studied out on how we're going to do the process for the grand jury. We've been studying the law and the process of the law for a few years now. We've been looking at common law for almost 2 years now, particularly under Thornton for a little over a year. We've been turning every stone up. We've got some trial background now. We're seasoned in court, so we've been in the trial courts. We've been in the appellate courts. We've written lots of papers. We've been in the town courts. We've been in the family courts. We've dealt with a lot of judges. We know their mentality. We know where they're coming from. We dealt with a lot of lawyers and prosecutors. We know where they're coming from. We understand the process that they went through for their education to some degree. Okay, so we kind of get a little, got a little seasoned. We know what to do next if they don't, obey. It's a very simple process. There is a process. First of all, we can do a court of record where the sovereign takes control of the court, and we can go after them for both criminal and civil. We can pursue them for U.S. codes. And we can have them go to jail for as long as 30 years, depending on what goes down, you know, what's going on. This is high treason. I'd have to go back and look into U.S. Code to see what the maximum sentence in jail is for high treason. But there is a, I don't remember how long the term is. But it's a period of time. So this judge will be facing that. And there's a couple of other things we could do. Remember, we're doing this 62 counties. All together at the same time. And a lot of counties, especially the ones further away from the metropolitan areas, they will be more easily taken over by the people and go forward with this than many other counties might do. So if it is the case, we can turn to the county. Look, I'm in Dutchess County. Let's say Dutchess County gives a hard time. But let's say Greene County and Columbia County goes through. Okay. We can turn to Greene and Columbia and say, hey, this judge here needs to be indicted. We'll go and we'll bring our story to Columbia and to Greene. We'll tell them what's going on. They'll summons the judge in, and they'll indict him. Okay? So we'll indict him from one way or another. We've got other counties to deal with. Also, we have the court of record. We also have the federal courts. We have federal backing. We've got the Scalia decision. There's so much power here. And at this point, remember, this is another thing. We're sitting in their courtroom, in their courthouse, in their jury rooms, which is ours. We own the structure. They don't. We're sitting in our courthouse. We're sitting in our grand jury room. And we're making, and we went through the process, and the people of the county elected. There's no way they can refuse. But that in itself is a lot of pressure. The pressure of Dutchess County not going along and looking over to see that Greene and Columbia did. You know, he's going to start wondering what he should do. And then a couple of threats, and they won't be idle threats. They'll be factual threats. He's going to face jail. If we have to go through this process to force you to obey the people, you're in high treason. And high treason, that's with the king. He's in high treason. When we go through this process, we're going for the maximum term in jail for you, buddy. And that in itself put a little fear. Go ahead.
So, what I'm hearing from you is the process that's going to happen in New York. Remember, I'm calling you from the state of Washington. So,
you have to develop it the same way we did.
Right. So I'm saying that I'm probably going to be in a little bit easier position, maybe not easier, but you will have been at least formulating all the steps well before I get there. The big thing for me right now is just to find another one of me and then get another 23 of me in one county while getting the rest of the counties in Washington, which is going to take a little bit more time. So that's the first step. But after that, I mean, I'm always going to be looking, hopefully, to New York and maybe Michigan if that's developed.
Absolutely. And we'll work with you.
Okay, there's our examples.
That's right. And
so they're going to ask me the same question. I expect questions of people to say, hey, wait a minute, where are you going to get all this? Like, my son is a good example. He's only 24 years old. But he looks at me like I'm a nut. And he says, where are you going to get all this power from? What are you going to, you know, and I really don't have a solid answer at this point in time because I'm not you.
Well, you got the answer now. This is where the power comes from, the people, and the power comes from the process. And they can't deny the process, and they can't deny the people. There's plenty of case law. Scalia is still up there, and I think he'd love to hear about this problem down in New York if we have a problem or any other place. But again, we have to do it right. We have to put on a good show, but we have to go through the process in a very specific way. We have to start down on the bottom. And let me tell you something. Just think about this. Even though we're starting on the bottom, in 1 week, we're on the top. Why? Because we're doing 62 counties. When you take over 62 counties, and I'm talking about the people, take over 62 counties, and they bring that process of the court process back to where it belongs under justice, under common law, okay, you just took the whole state because all 62 are acting in one accord. Now you're setting your eyes on Albany or whatever your capital is. You're going to set your eyes on the capital, and you're going to deal with the legislators. And you're going to control your legislators going to Washington. Think about that. We have 27, I believe, congressmen in New York State. We have two U.S. senators. And we're going to send them to Washington, and we're going to let them know that when they go take money from special interest groups, that's a crime, because that's really they're being bought off, okay? And so we're going to warn them not to do that. We don't care that everybody else is doing it. We don't care that in Washington that they made it not a crime. It's a crime in New York State, and you're selling the people's votes, and that's a crime. And you take that bribe and you sell your vote, when you hit that border, the sheriff's going to be waiting for you, and we're going to put you in bracelets, and you're going to be arrested because we're going to indict you, okay? And that's how you clean up Washington, one state at a time. New York does it. California does it, Washington does it, Jersey does it, Connecticut does it, and so on and so forth. Once you got 27 states, guess what? You just took back Washington. The president is no longer a dictator. He has no more control over Congress anymore because we just took it back. Okay, and eventually all 50 states, we believe, will eventually follow this lead, and there is no more problem. You see, it all starts local. You can't go to Washington and try to deal with Washington with one little group of people that claim to be grand jurists. And, you know, how do you even execute that? You start local.
That's right.
You know what?
How do you execute with a small number? You have to have an overwhelming majority. Not an overwhelming. You have to have a majority.
Let me tell you how power works. Let me tell you how power works. Jefferson told us very clearly how power works. We do not have a government by the majority. We have a government by the majority who participates, and that's a handful of people. This entire country is run and by a handful of people. The dictators of this country, the oligarchy, the group that control the puppet in the White House is a small group of people. So, you know, we the people, we have 62 counties in New York, and we're looking for a minimum of 25 people. That's 1,550 people just to start. And we're going to be piling them on behind that. Plus, we're going to be focusing in on the committee man process, and we will take the committee man process back. And now we took them back 16,300 people in the process that are decent people. They're just useful idiots, and they don't have a clue. They're frustrated. They don't like what's going on in the party, most of them. It's the party bosses and the people that are getting the payoffs. That's the problem. Okay. Well, these people are going to be happy to work with us, and we'll educate them, and we'll show them how the process really works, and we'll give it back to the people. And the people will do the right thing if they become educated. That's the key thing. You know, we're teaching very strongly certain principles that you have to hold, and it's up to the people whether they're going to hold it or not. And if they don't hold it, we're going to lose it. But you have to have a sense of justice, a sense of honor, and a sense of mercy. Lose any one of the three, and you lose control of the, you're going to lose control again. It's just a matter of time. So it's kind of a simple process. It's so simple, it's scary.
Well, it's so simple, it almost seems like it makes it seem like it is a massive effort. And you wonder how something
again,
simple like
again,
that. But on the other
again.
Hand, I can see where if you want to take your government back, then you're going to go through the process. If you don't want it, you're not going to do it. It really is simple.
Look, we're working 24/7. We're working real hard. There's a few of us doing this really, really, really hard. I see a lot of new people that have been connecting with me, and they're working hard. So it's up to the people to work hard and do it. If they don't want their country back, then we're not going to do it. It's that simple. If people are going to look for someone else to do it, then it's not going to happen, because everybody will be looking for someone else to do it. You know, that's been the problem. If people aren't willing to get reeducated, and it's not a big deal, matter of fact, it's quite interesting to discover what the truth really is and what liberty really is, and to take back our schools and our lives, and, you know, get rid of all the poison in our food, and get rid of the poison in our air and in our water, because we're being taken out. So, you know, again, it's up to the people whether they're going to do it. I got two other people with hands up. I'll leave your mic unmuted. Let me unmute someone from New York. New York, you're unmuted.
Okay. Yeah, hi. John?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. It's Irene from Long Beach, New York.
How you doing, Irene?
Good. And yourself?
Can't complain.
A quick question in regard to this paperwork that you file for the grand jury. What does that entail? Do you have to provide personal information? Do you have to have a person of record on this?
No. People are people. They don't have to answer to nobody. We're the boss. We're not going to answer to the government. The government has no business into the people's business. This is the beauty of the grand jury, and this is what that 92 case revealed. I mean, again,
but in order for you to become the grand jury, you have to go through a process of filing some paperwork, don't you?
The people will file with the election, and of course it'll file the names of the individuals who have signed up for the grand jury or the jury pool. Yes.
Do they have to provide any information?
Absolutely not.
Personally?
Just contact information, your name and contact information. That's it. Anything else is none of their business.
Okay. So then you basically go through the process, and once you've gone through it, you're approved. You don't have a time frame to wait?
You're a people. You're in. You claim to be a people. You want to do the right thing, and you come in. And it's going to be, you know, there'll be a group of maybe 25, 20, or 15 people that sit in on a hearing at any given time, and they're going to sit and agree on something one way or the other.
Okay. Now, I understand all of that. I'm just wanted to try and get an idea of when you go through this process before you become a grand jury and you initiate everything,
right,
how long the process is? Is it a month, 6 months?
As
you can get things going?
You mean how long before we start doing things?
Yeah, that you're in a position where, okay, you have the necessary paperwork to proceed.
Oh, the week after the week of the election, we take control.
So once you get all your paperwork in and then there's an election, is it a special?
We'll do the election 1 week. We'll all file on the following Monday of the next week, all 26.
Okay, so it's just
counties.
Like a election, or you just put notification in the papers who, you know.
Right, we're going to post a notice on every town board
and every city board
in the county
on
the details of the election and where it's going to be held.
Okay.
And then we do it in the newspapers.
Uh-huh.
And then we call back the newspapers and let them know the results. They'll report on that too.
Basically, if you were to go to vote for this grand jury, you'd have to go to the county?
You'll have to go to the county seat to vote, yes.
Okay. All right. And one other question. If you're the only grand jury within your state.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
would you work locally?
You see, that's what we're talking. There are places that have done grand juries in a county. California's got three counties, I understand. Maybe I'll be corrected by someone from California, but they've got three counties that have done this already. I heard Florida has a county or two, and there's a few other states that have some too. I heard Maine, I think, had one or two done up there. And they're getting some results, but it's slow going. They're having problems, you know, and so on and so forth.
But it's
one grand jury in one state. This
yeah.
is why we need all the people. And
I can't
turn around and say, hey, it's a crazy group out of Dutchess County, and, you know, we got to deal with them. No, it's a crazy group out of 62 counties
that
we're going to have to deal with.
Of course, it's kind of difficult to proceed unless you have everybody on board.
Well, yes, we want to. But one of the things, we're going to take leads from Michigan. Michigan's done this already, and they've shared some information with us. And And they told us, look, you don't have to have 25 people in every county. That is the point we want to get to. But you can have the election even if you don't have the 25. So
the point is,
let's say you got 10 or 5. We still go through the process. We still do the election. It's just going to take maybe a little longer before you get the rest of your 15 or 20, whatever you need to finish off. You'll file the papers. Everything will be done accordingly, but you won't be able to surface until you have at least the 25.
Yeah.
See?
Okay, so say, for argument's sake, Nassau County gets the required number of people and they go through the whole process and they form their grand jury, and they meet with the judge, and they meet with everybody they, you know, need to meet with to make them aware of what's going on. And say you want to call someone in for your grand jury, just in Nassau County, okay?
Right.
And you go through this whole process with, say, your local, like our local city council. And the end result is, say, you indict them. Who tries them?
The court system, and they pick a jury out of the jury pool, and the prosecutor goes and indicts them. And if you don't think the prosecutor is going to do a good job, we send in a what's called a general. Matter of fact, let me get Gerard off of unmute Gerard just in case
people
help me. But
give me all that.
We can get us what's called a special prosecutor. There's another name for it, a special attorney general or something like that.
Well, that's not exactly my concern. Say, okay, they go to trial and they're found innocent. Can they turn? They have.
They walk.
They walk. Do they have any legal right afterwards to say to you, well, you know, they were just out for me because they're a local group?
No, they can never do that. No. Well, you see, this
have
is
no
why.
Legal recourse?
Let me get back. You see, this is very, very important now. What I'm going to tell you is extremely important. This is exactly why, first of all, there's no witch hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see a problem, you know they're a problem. Let's go talk to the people and let's try to straighten it out. We're not going to indict them right off the bat. We're
mm-hmm.
going to tell them, hey, let's do this. When they understand that you're going to indict them, if they don't do it, they're going to fix it. So there's not going to be that many problems of that.
Mm-hmm.
Those people have been doing a lot of evil, and if they belong in jail, they probably hurt a lot of people, and a lot of people, when they discover what's going on with the grand jury, they're going to be knocking on our door, and they're going to say, hey, look, let me tell you what these people did to me. Now you got to indict, because you got witnesses coming up and bearing witness to a certain fact that they've been injured. See, but that's how you do it. And let me get back to this, and I want to make this clear to everyone that's listening here. If you don't get on board with this and follow this, don't think you can go any other way, because you'll only ruin for the people. We need to get this country back. This is a process to get this country back, but only if the people do the right thing. We have to have a sense of justice. We have to have a sense of honor. We have to have a sense of mercy. If we don't develop those three things, we don't make sure that that is what's emanating out from us as grand jurists, then this whole thing is worthless. We're not out on a witch hunt. We don't care if the guy's Hitler himself. If he complies and starts doing the right thing, we leave him alone. We'll befriend him. But look at, remember, he's got a lot of skeletons in his closets. Someone's going to emerge and say, that guy did this to me, and I've been severely injured. Now we have no choice to indict them for that purpose, for that person saying, not for anything we're thinking of doing. So, you got to get rid of political stuff. If you think you're going to go right against left and you're liberal against conservative and Republican against Democrat and the council's no good here because I've been trying to do this here, if that's what it's about, don't even bother coming in.
Yes.
You've got to get rid of that mindset.
Okay, now
what's in our mind is we're looking to save the Republic. That's what's in our mind. That's
okay.
It.
I understand all of that. I was just giving you that scenario because you don't know the city that
right.
I live in, okay?
Right.
And it was a city that was founded on corruption, okay? And everybody's got a friend here, especially in the county. So that's why I just wanted to know if for some reason a person is, you know, indicted because it is a common law grand jury, and if they are found innocent, do they have any legal recourse? That's all I really wanted to know.
No, they don't have. No,
yeah, that's all I really. You know, that's
no,
what I wanted.
No legal recourse against you. You've taken the. We as a group looked at it very carefully, and we agreed very carefully that hey, this is something worthy of indicting, and for the jury to decide on whether they're innocent or guilty. We're not deciding innocent or guilt. We're just deciding on whether a crime was committed.
No, and
that's it.
Understand. I just want to know if, you know, the process did continue, if if there was legal recourse. So there isn't any.
No.
You're saying. Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Okay.
Okay, thank
you. All right, you're welcome. You know, we just got to get our numbers together. What was that?
Yeah, because I have a few people that are interested, and when we saw you in Queens there. But basically, so it's not going to be a meeting, the common law workshop?
Right. Let me go into that. I see there's two people with hands up. Poor Clyde, I'm going to undo you in a second here, and I see Northeast New York. I'll get to you in a minute also. But, yeah,
okay.
Let me cover that. I did want to talk about that workshop.
Yeah.
We are going to have an online workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who has sent in a check, okay, I have not cashed any checks. I might have cashed one or two in the very beginning, but I've really been just piling them up here, and I haven't
mm-hmm.
cashed any. So
mm-hmm.
what I will do is I will destroy all those checks. I will not cash those checks. Now, there are like two or three people that gave us cash, so I'll get the money back to them. But other than that, that's it with the money. Now, people need to go out and register online. If you can go to the front page and click on what to do next, and then after you get to the next page, after clicking what to do next, you'll see two opportunities. We're doing two workshops this month. One is going to be on Saturday the 22nd and Sunday the 23rd. We're going to do 4 hours. It's an 8-hour workshop. We're going to break it up in 2 days. It'll be a Saturday from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay? Then on Sunday, we're going to come back again, and we'll follow up and finish up 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to do the same thing on the weekend of the 29th and the 30th. So we're going to do two weekends. It'll be 4 hours apiece. 4 hours Saturday, 4 Sunday, and then the same thing next weekend. Anybody can come to this, anybody from any state, any place. This way it's free. Nobody has to pay any money for this because we're not supplying lunch or anything like that. Most of the information we'll give out will be downloads right offline. We will be creating some booklets, so anybody who can chip in for that, we'd appreciate it. We really do need money, so send us some money. But we're going to do little pocket booklets, just like pocket constitutions. It's about the same number of pages, about 40 pages, and it's written for, and it'll say right on the front who it's written for. It's written for jurists, both trial jurists and grand jurists. It's written for the sheriff and the deputies. It's written for the bailiff, and it's written for the judge. And it's a booklet that covers common law and procedure and things that they should understand and know, all of them. And we will make sure that they all get plenty of booklets and make sure that all the jurors get plenty of booklets. So we need to print out thousands of them. And so I'm trying to push some money right now to get people to give some money so that we can get those printing going. And then what we'll do is we'll send out a couple of hundred to each county. Group, and then they'll disperse them accordingly, and if they need more, we'll get them more. What we'll probably do is the people we work a deal out with to print these things for us, we'll work out something so other people from, because the other states, it's nothing different. If they want to use the booklets we've created, they can, you know, call up and order 1,000, and we'll work out the best deal we can get, and they can do what they have to do in their states. Also, our workshops, they can come to our workshops and get educated, and we will work out something with the workshops to continue on a continuing basis, almost eternally. We'll work something out. So as people come into the system, they can go into this workshop and take the process through and come out the other end in a position in the right mindset. It'll be shorter for them because we won't need to teach them the process of the election. So it might be only 5 or 6 hours long. But we'll work that out. Those are details we'll work out. So anyway, again, if you're coming to the workshop, and remember, and let me tell you, seats are limited, okay? We only got so many seats in each workshop, so people better get out there quick and get their seats. It doesn't cost anything. Go out to newyorkcommitteeman.org. Let me double-check as I say this. Okay, go to newyorkcommitteeman.org. Click on, go to the front page, and just click on what to do next right under the video, maybe a paragraph or two under the video. And then when you come to that page, you'll see the two workshops. You can click on the link that's for June 22nd and 23rd, or you can click on the link that's for June 29th and June 30th. and then you'll get a response in the mail with a special link. And on that day and at that time, you click on the link and you'll be brought right into the room. There is a small piece of software. It's a that's downloaded in your computer as you join. It's by webinar. It's completely clean. There's no advertisements or anything. And all it is really a plug-in. They're really connecting a plug-in so that your browser connects to my browser. And that's it. It's very simple. Let me undo poor Clyde. He's been waiting a long time. If I can get his name unmuted. Trying to get him unmuted. Hold on. I don't know why it's not unmuting. Oh, there you are. You're unmuted.
Hi, John. How you doing? I just want to make a comment to the guy in Washington.
Yeah.
Before the too distant future, there's going to be some Supreme Court decisions that will light the works up, and I don't think we'll have to push that very hard. I think that's going to occur naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And when that hits the publications, it'll all be lights out.
Yeah. Well, I want to. Yeah. You know, we don't have much time left, people. I really want to impress that on you. I think everyone knows that in a heart of hearts that it's real close. Those who are really paying attention and really looking at the key points know that it's coming really close. We do not have the time. We are not going to put off what we're doing here in New York. Even if we don't come up with all the numbers, we're going to get the elections going, get the establishments going, and we'll continue to work on those numbers, and we will establish these grand juries in July. And, you know, as long as we can get it established, I think at that point, a lot of people that have been sitting on the fence, they'll come in, okay?
Yeah.
So let's get them in. Let's do what we got to do. But there is no more time left. I seriously believe that in my heart and my soul, there is no more time left. And I hear some things, and I'm telling you that there is no more time left. We have to do it now. We have a matter of months at most, and that's if we're blessed, if we're lucky or blessed. I'm telling you. So please, let's get out and do what we got to do. Let's save America. Remember, once they close that iron fist, once they pull that plug, once they drop the monetary system, we're not going to be able to organize and do this.
No.
We need to do it now. We need to be in position so when they do that, we will have the process going. We'll be talking with our sheriffs. We'll be talking. We've already made friends with a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to be happy to see us, believe it or not. But anyway, you're going to make friends with people. We're going to be able to take care of our states, okay? And then whatever we can do for other states, we'll do. But we're going to take care of our state, our home. This is what we got to do. Okay? Anything
John,
else, Ken? Yeah.
What left side option do we take for the workshops?
What?
What left-hand option do we get for the workshops?
Left-hand option?
Yeah. I want to find the workshops. How do I get to it? Which is the first one to go?
The first one is if you go to the jury page, which again, you know, go to the front page, click what to do next, and right down just below the video there, maybe a paragraph or two, you'll see it'll registration URL. Click on that URL, and you will register. The first one is 22nd and 23rd, and the second one is the 29th and the 30th. They're both, it's a Saturday and Sunday. It's 4 hours Saturday, 4 hours Sunday. Okay? And just click on those webinars, and you'll register. Just register with, you'll get some questions, answer the questions, and they will send you an email. And that email will give you the link to get into the process. Well, all you have to do is it's going to start, like, for instance, Saturday the 22nd at 10 o'clock. So at 9:30 or 9:45, you go and you click that link, and you'll be brought into the room. If I'm not there yet, it'll tell you that the organizer's not here yet, and you can read some stuff and just get ready and wait. We will start on the button 10 o'clock, so be early. We want to try to get it done in 4 hours. And want to free people for the rest of the day. The second day, we may go an extra half hour. I don't know. We'll see what we'll do. We'll try to get done in the 4 hours. And if we can't, we may go an extra half hour. So And we will have an intermission, probably maybe a 15-minute intermission. 2 hours in, we'll take a 15-minute break, and then we'll come back for the other two. So that'll bring us to 2:15 instead of 2 o'clock. So that's pretty much it.
I don't see what option to use on the left-hand.
Go to the main page, welcome page.
Yep. Okay. Oh, go into welcome. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roll down and below the video, in the right side, below the video, you'll see what to do next. Okay. You see the video. Listen to episode 24. Guest speaker on the grand jury, and then what to do next. Okay. Click on that.
Okay.
Now on that page, scroll down under the video, maybe two paragraphs down, you see the two options. See it?
No.
What do you see?
Well, the video is...
Yeah, keep going below the video. You'll see title Grand Jury Workshop in the description, and then two options.
Got April 12th, 2013, and then alert. It helps save our sheriffs, and then
you're on the wrong page. No, no. Did you click on what to do next?
I went to the welcome page.
Okay, come down, and you'll see what to do next. Do you see that? It's a link. It says what to do next. For more information, an application to attend our 8-hour workshop for jurist orientation. You see that?
Underneath the video.
Underneath the video. What to do next.
Oh, I see it. Okay. Yep, yep.
Click
okay.
on that.
Yep.
Now scroll down, and under that video, there's another video there. Go underneath that one, and you'll see. Become a common law grand jurist. Register now. Seats are limited. Title, Grand Jury Workshop. The description. And then there's two options. Option
okay.
one is June 22nd through 23rd, or option two. You only choose one. June 30th, 29th, and the 30th. They're going to be duplicate programs.
All right. Okay, good.
Okay, so then, you know, click on that, register, and then you'll get an email. And in that email will be a link. And in that morning, you'll come in at 9:45 or so, whatever, and you click that link in your email, and it'll open up into your browser, and it'll open up and bring you right onto the Internet and right into the process. It'll ask you to allow you to download a socket or something for the browser. And,
uh-huh.
and then your browser, you'll see my browser.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. And that's it. Okay, let me, anybody else want to talk, raise your hand, click *8 on your dial tone there. I'm going to unmute NE, Northeast New York. You're unmuted. I see a couple other people, let's go with Northeast New York. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Did you see the
Hey, Skip, how you doing, huh?
Skip Stranahan up in the north
yep.
part of New York.
How you doing, Skip?
I'm doing awesome. Did you see the link I sent you about the Florida grand jury?
About which grand jury?
Florida grand jury. There's a grand jury, citizens grand jury in Florida that's already indicted Eric Holder.
Yeah. You know, the problem with it, and I've talked to some of these people, is they're going after too big a people. I don't know that they're going to get anywhere. We have to start small. We have to take our counties back. Then we have to take our state back. And then we take the nation back. But we have to have a lot more states before we go to take the nation back. But let's take our state back. Let's put Washington on notice. We've gone constitutional. You got to go, too, because that's the only way we're going to talk to you. You know?
I agree with you. I think they've indicted a pretty big fish to start with. I don't know if they've done anything before this, but
there's another grand jury of 150 people, and they're indicting big, big people. Gerard, you're unmuted, by the way. They're indicting big people. One grand jury has gone after Obama, and they did this 2 years ago, and they haven't gotten anywhere. I mean, you can't do that. You have to take your footholds first. You got to step on the one step before you can get to step 10. You got 9 steps to go through. And if we do it piece by piece, take home, take your home, take your local first. Let's take our counties. Let's take our state. Let's work with other states, and then we can take Washington. That's the only way we could do it. There's no other way. We're fooling ourselves to think we're going to – then they're going to ignore us. Also, I want to tell you something. You have to know common law. Everybody
that's
has to
what
find
I, that's right.
everybody has to find someone in their state, and if you look for them, you'll find them, someone who knows common law and can advise you and help you with the letters and help you with the process. And if you're going to do certain things, you talk with them. You know, I will help as many people as I can. Gerard's here. There's a couple of us here in New York. We'll help anyone in any state. We'll talk to anyone. We'll give them advice. We'll give them thoughts. Anyone within our state, when a jury wants to do something kind of new, and talk to us. Let's talk about it. You know, we may advise you, look, that's a good idea, but let's hold off on that. Let's do this first and take care of this and that, and now then go for that. You see, we got to think it out, and we have to do it logically, and we have to do it under common law. Now, there are certain procedures, and if people give us a hard time, you come see us, and we know the procedures. We know how to get through the court systems.
See, that's the problem with everybody starting out and not doing the same thing and doing, I mean, it's going to be modified. Obviously, it's from the people. But when you go after big fish like Obama and Holder, if you don't know how to operate in the courts, in the federal courts or in the trial courts, then you get in there and they slap you down on stupid stuff because you didn't study and you didn't bone up, and you go in as a citizen, and they dictate to you. So what that does is when we finally come out, it's already ruining our credibility because they say, oh, we've heard this before. Oh, this doesn't work. You see, that's the New World Order's tool mostly is psyops. They love for people to go out and indict Obama because you're going to get the full force of everybody that he controls coming up against you. They're going to make sure that the right judge gets it, and they're not, you know what I'm saying? And if you don't understand how to operate in those courts, they're going to just roll over you like a steamroller. So everybody's in a hurry and they want to go to the top, or like a bunch of little kids can't wait to blow out the birthday candles. Well, you know what? We got to step back and do the right thing. And it's really fixing this country. If Obama left for Mars tomorrow, that would not fix this country, because the problem, and believe me, we know it, is down in the counties and in the towns. They've corrupted them so bad. You know, the guy on the top is not going to make that big of a difference. And not only that, the guy on the top is dealing with his puppets. You know, he's got to deal with the Federal Reserve, the IMF, all this stuff. You know what? The Federal Reserve, the IMF, and all them, they cannot deal with we, the people, turning the light on and demanding an accounting from them. That's what they cannot deal with. And that's what this is, and that's what we have to keep it.
And I just want to acknowledge that we see North Carolina here with the hand up, Ohio and Nevada. We also have Orange County, New York. Carl, I'm going to unmute you next. You've been waiting for a while. Let's see. Then we have North Carolina after that, Ohio after that, and then Nevada. Anybody else wants to raise your hand, go right ahead. But that's the numbers I'm seeing up in order of who raised their hands. Let me unmute Carl. There was something I wanted to say. Oh, let me make this note. Anybody in any state that wants to help organize their state will get others that want to help to organize their state that's not at this meeting or whatever. Just send me an email. Give me your contact information. Give me your first name. Obviously, I have your email, or give me another email, your phone number, and your state. That's what I need. State, email, phone number, and your name, your first name. And I will post that information up on our state page. In NewYorkCommittyman.org, on the left side, second from the bottom up, it says state contacts. And if you want to look to see who's in your state that's a contact, you can go to that page and look it up, and you can call that person up. You give me your information, I'll get you up on that page. We'll get 2, 3, 4 people a state, doesn't matter how many, and then you guys work it out to organize your state. You can use our website as an educational process. You can come to our conferences. Again, this is generic. This is not New York only. Everything we're giving out, you can use in your state, the process and everything. So let's build up on that. And same thing in New York. Anybody in any counties, go to our county page and look around and, give us your name, and we'll post you up there and work with the others in your counties. We still have counties we haven't got leaders for. So maybe someone in that county next door can take the leadership for their neighboring county and find somebody and work with them, get them started. We got to get people in every county. We can't do this without getting every county involved. We have to do this. Carl from Orange County, you're muted.
Hey, good evening.
How you doing, Kyle?
Good. Good points. All of them. Has to start local. It's the only way. And you're so right. If take out Obama, it doesn't mean anything because he's just a puppet. You take him out, you still got to go for everyone else underneath. I wanted to, someone was at, a lot of people have different schedules. They'll be free one Saturday, but not the next Saturday. Can't do consecutive Saturday, Sunday. So I wasn't sure. Does the webinar, the Citrix product, does it do recordings? Can people come back?
Yeah, but we want people to get out now. We don't want people procrastinating. We are going to record these things, and we're going to put them. We got someone that's working on a database for us, where people can come in and sign in, get through the database, and then they'll get an email back with where they can go to get these recordings. And then they can do the recordings at their own convenience. But I don't want to push on that now. What I want to do is I want to get people in the system now. People, we've been trained to be procrastinators. We have to do it now. You can't put it off any longer. We also have presentations set up. We have on Tuesdays, if you go out to... Look, everybody should go out to NewYorkCommitteeMen.org right now. Click on the calendar, okay? And on our calendar, you'll see all of our presentations we have set up, and you'll see the webinar set up. You can join right there, right off the calendar. Now, we have tomorrow night, we have a presentation on GoToWebinar. You can join up for that. Bring your neighbors, bring your friends, make phone calls, get as many people as you can. They can come, they can watch the presentation, and then we'll do Q&A after. Now, that's going to be 7 o'clock tomorrow evening from 7 to 9. It'll be less than that. It's only a 40-minute presentation. So 7 o'clock, bring as many people as you can. Now, Thursday, we're going to have another presentation. I'm doing that at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Doing it a little later for the people on the West Coast or out Central. So it's a little later, you know, so I guess out in California it'll be, what, 6 o'clock? Central will be about 7 or whatever it is. Sun is mountain time. So in any event, we're going to have one Tuesday, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, one Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're going to repeat that next week again. We'll have a Monday night call, and then Tuesday, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have another one. And then Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, another one. The following week, again, we're going to do this every week, Tuesday and Thursday, Tuesday and Thursday, Tuesday and Thursday, up until the grand jury workshop. And this way we can help to build our ranks. This way we don't have to travel the state no more to show the program. It's on twice a week, right on the internet. It's very convenient. It's a pretty good process, this GoToWebinar. And we can get people involved, you know. And by the way, Skip, maybe you can give me a call. We could talk after the conference here tonight. I'd like to connect with whatever people we can up your neck of the woods, Saratoga, Hamilton, Warren, Washington, Schenectady, Montgomery, Essex. We do have some people in Clinton. We have some people in Jefferson. We need Lewis. We need a few counties up there. And now it's going to be a lot easier. You just got to get them out to the webinar. Get them out to our page and have them come to one of our presentations. Just click and register for a presentation and come Tuesday night, tomorrow night, or Thursday night, and anyone else.
Okay, I'm working on some of that, and I actually worked on St. Lawrence County today.
Okay, let's do what we can. Give me a call. Let's talk, because I'm kind of counting on you for that neck of the woods up there.
All right.
Okay. I got some phone calls or some connections and people. I got someone in Buffalo, and I think I got someone up in your neighborhood, Washington, Warren, somewhere around there. I got another guy. I have to call him. I'll call him tomorrow. And again, these presentations are good for people out of state, no matter what state you're coming from, California, Florida, Ohio, Nevada. It doesn't matter. Presentational work, questions and answers, and then the process and everything else, it's the same. Okay, Carl, did you have anything else?
Yeah, only that these executive orders, one recently signed by Obama, is pretty scary, and it just points out how important it is to get going with this sooner than later. It says, according to this authority, this executive order, authority to seize all communications, television stations to CB radios, confiscate all food resources, including farms and farm equipment, take control of all transportation, including your family car, and compel you at gunpoint under federal supervision to work as a slave. Now, this was quoted out of an Alex Jones article.
Right.
I think a lot of that this executive order hasn't been publicized from other stuff I'm reading. So it's bizarre times. I mean, this is Orwellian. You can't even write this stuff up like it's truth. It's all fiction, right? This isn't happening, but yes.
Listen, people, you just heard what Carl just read out. This is so important. This is war. We have to move now. 100% of our time. Everything else has to play second fiddle to this. Families, we have to set our families aside. I'm sorry. Work, whatever. We got to set it aside. You know, we're not going to have any of those things later. We're going to lose our children. We're going to lose our families. We're going to lose them to these bastards. People have got to get up and do something now. There is no time. Make haste and move. This is an emergency situation. You know, if we don't win this battle here, okay, we're going to have to fight it a different way, and you all know that. And none of us want to go that route. That's going to be very painful, okay? So we have to deal with this now. We have to deal with it here. We have to stop it. And that order that he just read, that presidential, what is it called?
It's called Obama's National Defense Resource Preparedness Executive Order.
Okay. That order is totally 100% irrelevant to the state of New York if we establish our jury and take control of our local process. That order is irrelevant. We will cancel that out easily because we're going to be talking with our sheriffs. It's our sheriff's job to protect the people in the county. It's the sheriff's job to call for the militia, to call, to deputize people if he needs people. It's the sheriff's job to make sure that people, you know, the federal government doesn't come in and just take and plunder and do what they please. We're not going to let them do it. But we're not structured unless we organize, and we can organize this thing through the grand jury and making the connections and getting everybody together to work on this thing. So it's up to the people. We got to do something. No more procrastination. There's a lot of people out there that have been working on people, and it's time to push them to make the connection onto the internet and sign up, register for this workshop, and let's get going. Let's do what we got to do. Let me open up Southeast Ohio. Your mic is open. Ohio.
You're unmuting me, John, I think.
Yeah, I wanted to keep you on mute in case you had something to say. But I did get Ohio. Ohio? All right, I'll leave Ohio open. Maybe they walked away from the computer. Nevada. Give me a second and I'll unmute you. Okay, Nevada.
Hello, John. Tom,
yes.
Murphy. How you doing?
How you doing, Tom?
Excellent. Like to share a little bit with you about the show. The sheriff's conviction, it was wonderful.
Right. Yeah, how did that go?
It went great. We got sheriffs that feel the same way we do, okay? Absolutely the same way we do. And so that was a great thing, hooking up with them. We've come to an agreement as to a national ID for the people, and that design is going to be signed off by three sheriffs, and it's going to be incorporated into the package that Sheriff Mack approved. Well, he approved the package and basically endorsed it, is what he did. And the package that enables the sheriffs to convene the sheriff's courts in every county judicial district. Now, of course, each one of those courts requires a common law grand jury, and a common law grand jury can't be a registered citizen, can't be a registered voter. That's clear with all of them, and they understand they've got to resend their voter's registration with the United States Corporation, too.
Okay, we disagree with that kind of a position. But if anybody wants to rescind the voting registration because they think that's necessary, they could do that. But we don't agree with that. Tom, hold on 1 minute. I just want to make this point. Almost everything you're doing, I'm agreeing with you, and I'm right behind you. I disagree with that point. And I will cover that point, you know, with other people who are interested in that. But everything else, we could still work together. We'll do what we got to do. You do what you got to do. And let's keep growing and moving forward to save this republic. But
absolutely.
Go ahead. Finish your report.
But what I'm telling you is that presidential order that was just read applies
uh-huh.
to the registered voters, the citizens. That's all Obama has any jurisdiction over, citizens of the corporate United States, and they're going off the voters' registration, and so I'm just telling you the way it is because I have knowledge of it, okay? And I'm saying
how,
I would not want to be a citizen.
How is Sheriff Mack connected in this, and in what part of the process? Tell us more about that.
Sheriff Mack organized the CSPOA, which is the Constitutional Sheriffs and
uh-huh.
Police Officers Association. And he's organized it, put it together. There must have been 200-300 people there. I mean, sheriffs even had police officers, and police officers found out that their wings were clipped because they don't even have the right to pack a gun. So
wow.
It was a very interesting conference. These guys are aware of more than you would imagine. I was impressed.
Is there any detailed write up on this? Has anyone did a story that's accurate on what went down? Is there anything we can get on a blog?
There's been one news thing come out already, and I'm just finishing up. It's a 25 page document that is the packet that's going to be going out to every one of the sheriffs in every county. And we have a program to where each other sheriff will also be motivated to get their neighboring sheriff signed up because there's an ongoing revenue stream.
Can you get me an electronic copy of that document, and maybe I could share it with my sheriffs here in New York?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Matter of fact,
can I post this on our website here?
Yeah, absolutely. But if
okay.
you commit to it, Don, what I'd like to do is let you be in charge of you just simply got to send it out to them, but you got to send it out where, you know, it's the cheapest way that is outside of their jurisdiction is you send it out and get receipt confirmation. And we download the evidence off the internet.
What we'll do is this. We'll get personal service in every county where we have contacts, and that's almost every county. And we'll find someone in each county that will take it down to their sheriff's office, deliver it personally to the sheriff, and then we'll supply them with the necessary affidavit for them to sign for service, that they've been served with it. And then we'll get you the copy. We'll get you the original services, to you, certificate of service.
Great. Great. And there
okay.
were some sheriffs there from New York, so I know we got some good guys there already.
All right.
One other thing.
I know you've been busy. I know you've been traveling, and I guess you just got back recently.
I'm still in Missouri. I'm still in Missouri. I leave tomorrow to head back to California.
Okay. Get me that package on this citizen thing, because I promised you I'd look at that, and I'd give you my thoughts on it. And, you know, you got to convince me of what you're saying before I could even tell anybody else to do these things. And we've looked into this pretty thoroughly, but maybe there are stones we haven't turned over yet, and we'll turn them over if we have to, and then we can talk some more about it. But other than that, we have a lot we can work together on, and I do appreciate the work that you're doing.
Oh, yeah, you betcha, bro. We have, I don't know who you're talking about, 150, but that's about how many we have now.
Mm-hmm.
About 150, but see, the difference is our jury is an independent grand jury having international jurisdiction.
Well, if you can get the sheriffs on your side and get enough of them to work with you on this, then I think you've established a process.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's apparently what you're trying to do.
Well, see, the deal is, while ago, that gentleman was talking about, you got to know how to work in these courts. Well, you know what? I've done over 20 actions in their courts, and from federal all the way down to municipal and two different states, for absolute 100% failure. They're impossible to work in. You can't go into the enemy's court and prosecute the enemy.
Yeah,
so, but what we're doing now is we're convening the common law court of justice in each county judicial district through the sheriffs, and it's called the sheriff's courts because the sheriff is the representative of the sovereignty. And the definition of a court is the sovereign and his suit. So way this is going to go down is these courts are the sheriff's courts, and they have, like, the deputy sheriff is like the deputy DA. The deputy sheriff is the one that brings the case before the grand jury on behalf of the sheriff, of the people.
Why isn't he a magistrate?
We don't need a magistrate. A magistrate is in their system. There's no magistrate in this system. There's a grand jury foreman, and the foreman does the same duty as the magistrate. The secretary does the same duty as their clerk. That's the common law court. They're just plain people, 25 of them, and they just appoint each other. And that's the way it works. They don't, the magistrate's nothing.
Well,
common law court record.
Get us your papers, because we're really interested in studying this and posting it up. And this is very interesting, and I'm glad you had good success out there. How many sheriffs showed up, by the way? And by the way, West North Carolina, you're unmuted, but go ahead, finish up, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not sure, John. I can tell you there was a very large turnout.
Right.
There's maybe 200 to 300, and I don't know how, but there were peace officers at all levels. I mean, from everywhere. I mean, there were police, a chief of police that were jumping ship, right there, signing up with the Oath Keepers. And signing up with Sheriff Max Association.
Wow.
I mean, it was really huge. And so I got an audience with about five of the sheriffs at a closed meeting, and I delivered this package. And I gave it to Sheriff Mac when I first got there. He had 2 days to review it, and he came back with his thumbs up on it. So
right.
We're just now in a couple of changes, and it's going out.
Any videotape?
Everybody was being taped. Video was running full time, so I'm sure it's going to be available. I can't say when.
Well, where was this meeting? Was this in Nevada?
No, it was Missouri, St. Charles.
St. Charles, okay.
Missouri. Uh-huh.
Okay, and what was the event called?
It was called the annual, I guess, or whatever, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association Conference.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try to look for that on YouTube.
Yeah. Not of 2013.
Okay.
So, plug those in, you might find something. If you do, go ahead and link them to me. I'd appreciate it. No, I'm traveling.
Oh, yeah. I'll send them out to you and get them up on our website, too. So.
And I'm going to try to have this document. I've got somebody working on it right now, piecing it together. And so I'm going to try to get it out tonight. If I do, I'll go ahead and forward it to you.
Great. All right. North Carolina,
John,
by the way, you're unmuted if you want to pipe in.
Okay, this is Jane from North Carolina.
Yep.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
I dropped the call just when you were going to call me. I was wondering, on those weekend webinars that you were talking about, you said that the seats are limited in that?
Yes, yes.
And
do you
want to keep that open just for people in New York State now?
No. Anybody and everybody. Look,
anybody
if seats
and
are limited,
anything.
When we start to hit the maximum, I'll start looking to put out more money. You know,
okay.
All this stuff costs money, and I've only got so much of that. Matter of fact, I get very little of that if anybody wants to help out. But, you know, it costs money, and at some point we're going to have to push it higher, and as long as I got the money in my pocket to do it, I will do it.
Okay, and where's the donate button on your page? I've kind of looked for it. I haven't looked
left
real
side.
Hard, but left side?
Every page there should be a donate button on the left side, right underneath the, you know, all the links, and you'll see Help Save Our Republic, donate.
Okay.
So.
All right, I just wanted to clarify that on that. And then I think Howard's talking to you about organizing North Carolina. Have you?
Yes, I believe I got Howard up already. Let me go take a look. Yeah, because if you go out to our state contact page, second link from the bottom, right above the donate button, you'll see we have the list of all of the states. And I think I got Howard up there. I'm looking right now. Yeah, there he is, North Carolina. Howard is there.
Okay.
And Betty, B-E-T-T-E.
Yep. Howard and Betty are good friends of mine, and we're I'd love to be more involved, but I'm an over-the-road truck driver.
I remember. Matter of fact, I think I was supposed to get something out to you, and we haven't really finished it all, but we'll get something to you soon. I do have your address here.
Okay, and I sent you an email today. I talked to you about that problem we were having, and I sent you an email today that paper that she got doesn't hardly have anything on it, but it's just the court date.
Oh, okay. Yes. I saw that, but I didn't see. You didn't send me a paper or anything.
Yeah, I just sent you that email, but that's all that's on there is the court date and the time she's supposed to be there.
Okay.
There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing else involved. Just that.
When is the court date?
June 10th.
Okay. Why don't you give me a call tomorrow sometime and let's talk.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We'll get it offline. So
okay, and I'll mute myself because I'm on the road, so who knows what's going to happen.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks.
All right. Ohio's, you're still open, and Nevada, by the way, Tom, you're still open.
Can you hear me, John?
I can hear you.
Oh, you didn't hear me before. My stupid phone was on mute.
Huh?
I'm going, John, and then you unmuted me.
I didn't hear you. You must have muted yourself.
But John, I got two questions I want to ask you. One, I talked to you, not on the air, but on your cell phone or whatever, you gave me a call. Remember, I'm a California state citizen.
Right.
I told you about Richard McDonald. I was just wondering, did you ever go to his website?
Yep.
And what did you think?
Which website is this? Is this the one with...
8-citizen.org.
8-what?
8-citizen.org.
Citizen.
I haven't been to that one yet. Hang on a minute. Let me go take a look. Have you been to that one, Gerard?
I don't recall that one.
Number 8 or spell out 8? EIGHT?
Yes, no, just state, you know, like state, dash, right in the middle, or dash, right in the middle.
Oh, state dash citizen, STATE, dash citizen dot org.
Let me see if I've been out there. Hold on.
I think we were out.
Oh, yeah, I did. I was. It's in my browser. You probably gave me a link. Yeah, welcome to State Citizen Service Center. Oh, this was a while ago you gave me this. Yeah, I've been out to this site. Yeah, I've been out to this site.
She looked at some of the court cases.
A couple of things we've got to be careful with. And, you know, bear in mind, we all have error somewhere, okay? I know I have error. It's hard for me to find it. Maybe someone else can point it out to me. But, you know, you have error, and it may be hard for you to see it, and someone has to point it out to you, and so on. But one of the mistakes that this guy is making is using the word citizen. You know, now it is true, there's nothing wrong with being a citizen of your state, but nevertheless, they incorporated the state, too, and they swapped things around. Like here in New York, you know, it would be New York State. Well, what they did for the corporate side of things is they put State of New York. So if you're looking at the State of New York, you're looking at...
You're talking about the Buck Act of 1939.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just saying this is what I saw what they're doing. So, you know, we turn everything around. When we go to the Supreme Court, we don't put State of New York Supreme Court. We put New York Supreme Court. I don't even use the word state. New York Supreme Court. And then, you know, Dutchess County or whatever county we're in fighting. But when you go into a court of law, or if you're building a position up for grand juries, you got to dump the word citizen, because they have distorted it so bad we can't give them any reason to think that we're holding ourselves up as citizens.
Oh, right, I know, but if you read those court cases, you know, this ain't Richard's opinion, it's what the court said.
Right. I'll go through this again. I did look at this a while back, and I'll go through it again. I did see some good stuff in here. This guy's been around for a while, huh?
Oh, yeah, and he's a retired cop, too.
Yeah, I think... Didn't he do a seminar, or is that another guy I'm thinking of?
Nope, he used to do seminars, Studio City, California, once a week. But
yeah, but there was one on YouTube. I think I seen him talking. He was a little younger, maybe.
Edward Bear is the man.
Yeah,
huh?
McDonald is the man.
Yeah.
Edward
Bear
is the man. He's the man.
Okay. There it goes, right from Tom.
And now another thing is about the common law. This country is founded upon the common law.
Right.
Every law that they're using against you right now is statutory law.
That's right.
That's
which
right.
Which is totally in conflict with the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And people are waking up to that fact.
We are teaching everybody that statutes are not law.
I know. See, like when you go to court, the prosecutor goes, and he met the statutory blah 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 blah. I'm like, oh my gosh. But just one quick little court thing that happened to me. I got pulled over by a cop driving solo in the carpool lane. This was in Torrance, California, on a 45 freeway, just getting on the on ramp. So at the top of the on ramp, you know, CHP, he motions me to pull over, so I pull over. First thing comes out of his mouth, license and registration, because the cops have to verify that you gave this state or any other state the consent to give you a ticket. If you look at California Motor Vehicle Code Section 17.459-17.460, that's exactly what it says.
The statute, code rules, regulations, and ordinances.
If you go to California Motor Vehicle Code 17.459,
hey, gentlemen.
So the first thing I said to the cop was, I'm sorry, is this a criminal or is this a civil investigation?
Good evening.
Get closer to your mic.
Okay, well, I'm as close as I can get. I wanted to inform you that if you folks are trying to see about getting out of the statutory law and you want to get more into common law, as you realize New York State, being one of the original 13 colonies, has a section called the CPLR, stands for Civil Practice Laws and Rules, and they have a section in there strictly based on common law. That's still
okay.
There, but it's written under numbers, under the 8,000 section. If you ever want a concept, if you ever want to challenge somebody's office, it's called a writ, that's W-R-I-T, of Quorowanto, Quorowanto. And that is a common law writ where the individual or individuals... You know, as I was listening to you talking about citizens, yeah, we got to watch out for that word citizens, because you go on the Black's Law and read that, you'll find out that makes you part of the corporate or corporation. You go ahead and you do a writ of Quorowanto to asking, how does that person think that they can hold that office and by what authority that they think that they can have that office and do that? And if there's enough people that question that person's authority is to think that they can hold that office, I would imagine that probably the sheriff could probably take them and detain them legally until that question gets answered.
Well, that's very interesting about the CPLR in the 8,000 section. I've never looked over in that section. I'm definitely going to be looking over now and see what we got. And I do.
Hey, John, we
spoke. Who's speaking right now? Because I believe we spoke yesterday or the day before, didn't we?
Well, my name is Benjamin.
Right. I think we. Let me see. Did we speak?
Yes, you did. You spoke to me about 48 hours ago.
Yes, and I remember. I'm looking at my notes.
Right. What I'm trying to get you folks to understand is that each of the states, whether the original 13 or not, common law is the foundation. Think about the idea of a house. A house has a foundation. If you try to take the common law and pull it out from under it, the house cannot stand. So that means that means the statutes or statutory law would fall completely because it has no foundation. So the whole idea is we have things called writ of coroanto. We have a thing called a writ of mandamus. In the state of New York, a writ of mandamus is basically it's basically the idea that somebody made a judicial decision. The judicial decision you felt was wrong, so you get to have it almost – it's almost like an appeal, and you got to realize the term appeal is called a writ of certiorari. So anytime you hear the word appeal, watch out. The word appeal just is a general common law word or general word, but the term of writ of certiorari is an actual common law word. So our federal courts deal in common law stuff all day long. Federal courts, for example, are called Article III courts. So if you study anything about courts and you want to go into federal court, you want to deal with Article III courts, and you have to define Article III courts. You want a constitutional court on the federal end.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
John, when you add to that.
We have too many people talking
here. I want to jump in here real quick. This is real important regarding the Clean Water Act. The Title 33, Chapter 26, is one of two titles that actually give the citizen, much less the people, the citizen right to arrest, the right to sue in the district court of the United States, which is that court to which you refer. And you have Section 1319A gives you that district court Title III authority. And when you specify that and you add the Clean Water Act violations, which every one of them are committing, you have the right to go into the Article III court. But no other title gives you that right. So you've got to include the Article III, the Clean Water Act violations to get in there.
Well, what I'm really trying to say is that, gentlemen, honestly, the way I look at it is that anything in law, as far as I was explained to when I went to law school and decided not to become a lawyer, because a lawyer under Luke 11:52, Jesus stated in the Bible, says, "Woe unto ye lawyers, for ye have the keys of knowledge. Ye did not enter yourself, and ye hindered my people from entering." So the fact of the matter is they're the gatekeepers, and the way I look at it is that how are we going to get rid of the gatekeepers? Well, see, the problem we have is we've got a system in the United States, keywords, two things, United States of America and United States. United States is considered a corporation of part of the British Commonwealth or common law. And the fact of the matter is because it's a common law, and they want to control us, they have to use esquires. And esquire is the title of nobility, which is actually considered against the law in the United States Constitution that nobody can hold titles of nobility. By the way, I think if I remember correctly, I think it even says something in our state constitution for New York that you can't have a title of nobility either. Then the question is, why do we have this thing called a bar association that's giving people these titles of nobility?
Hey, Benjamin, you're from Ohio, right?
Negative.
No?
Negative. I'm originally a New York transplant.
Okay, because I'm looking here. I want to talk with you later. Oh, that's a different Benjamin. That's why I'm looking for your number here. Maybe email me your number because I'm looking through my notes, and I just don't see your number.
Well, see, the problem I had was is I called you earlier, and I called your cell phone as well as your other number, and for some reason I wasn't able to get enough information to get on the call tonight. And then all of a sudden I remembered, I think it's star 6 or star 8 that you got to do to put your hand up.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, magically, it just says, well, you're unmuted. And I'm like, oh, I'm unmuted? Cool. So it's been a long time since I've been on a talk show call.
Right.
I've been following a group called Americans Restoring America, which is part of Michael Edwards' group.
Right.
And he's got a lot of things going on. John, if you remember, we discussed about Title 18. Title 18 is called the United States Code.
People watch out.
If it says United States Code, it's really not the true law. If it's United States Code annotated, it's the true law because, see, the United States government will use a thing called the CFRs. That's called the Code of Federal Regulations. And I apologize for my language, but it's a bunch of BS because all it is the regulation around the law. So if you really want to know what you got to deal with, you go back to the statutory section of law. So, for example, somebody sends you a piece of mail and the name is wrong or improper or wrong address or something. Let's say you don't even want to take it. Title 18, United States Code, annotated, use USCA 1341 and 1342. 1341 is for a fictitious name and 1342 is fictitious address. Then what do you do with it? You turn around and you put that on the front, you make a couple copies of it, and you sort of black out the address and the barcode, and you send it back through. And the reason why you make copies of that is because after you've given notice to somebody two or three times, you now go to the Postmaster General or the postal inspectors and say, hey, I got somebody here harassing me over money or other things, and here I have given them legal notice three times. I'm putting you on notice, and I want you to deal with them in an appropriate manner. Now, you may never hear from them, and you may not. But what you do is you go to a thing called cornell.edu, and that's actually, I apologize, www.cornell.edu.
Right, we use that all the time. Yep.
That's the Cornell website for the State University of New York at Cornell. If you really want to do it properly, it's called law.cornell.edu. They have excellent services in there, and you can do a whole bunch of research on all kinds of things. I'm very interested in wanting to help people learn how to do writ of habeas.
Well, we want to talk to you about that. We want to talk to you about the writs. And,
law writ of habeas. I'm telling you, this local cotton picking county had to have 62 judges and 62 lawyers there to listen to me with my argument. My argument came down to just bring me the corpus delicti, bring me the dead person, or bring me the injured party. Then you got some controversy. Until then, you ain't got nothing. It's always the state of New York against, you know, my name in capital letters. Now they're getting to the point where they're figuring, well, we won't bother using capital letters. We'll use upper and lower case. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing about it is it's the state of New York. Well, I want you to take the state of New York and put them on the stand so I can cross-examine them. Well, they've got a problem there. The attorney who is what? In the state of New York, to be an attorney, you have to pass a fitness test, which means you can't have any felonies. You also have to sign to an oath that you will maintain the bankruptcy of the United States Corporation. Each lawyer has a bond. Part of the idea of them having a bond is because why? One of the things that I've been doing is I've been taking the charges that they put against me, and I turn around and make them, the lawyer coming after me, a second party. Who's responsible for the charges. When you take the lawyer who's coming after you and you make them through their statutory law, because it's Admiralty Maritime, and you make them an accessory to the fact, all of a sudden there's a problem. There's a controversy. Now the judge is supposed to be buddies with the district attorney as well as your public defender. Well, screw your public defender. Kick them the freak out. I don't care if they put you down as pro se, because all pro se stands for in Black Law Dictionary is that you're learning law. So just remember, you are learning law, and it's okay, but the important thing is you know how to read the book, Black Law Dictionary, and understand it. I also have copies of the first edition up to the current edition that I use as the sixth or seventh edition. But the important
you got a copy of the first edition, you say?
Heck yeah. You kidding me? That's 1891.
I think someone sent me one. It's a photocopy.
I've been collecting them for years, and yes, I have photocopies. And if people are interested in that stuff, they need to get a hold of John, and then John can kindly send their email address to my attention through John, and then I will kind of be polite to forward up a PDF copy of whatever it is. I have extra copies of Black Law
Dictionary. Oh, great.
Dictionary.
And listen, what I want you to do...
If people want to buy Black Law Dictionary, then they need to get a hold of me. I'm only selling them on either cash or I'm selling them on postal money orders. That's the only way that I will do it. Otherwise, I'm going to keep what I've got. What I'm just saying is we're fighting a bad game here in New York State between the SAFE Act and all these other laws. I mean, this new law here about what? Texting and driving? Okay, wait a minute here. Before you know, they're going to have a law about smoking and driving.
Right.
They're going to have a law about eating and driving. Listen, driving is very simple. Look up Title 18, Section 31. This is for everybody's notice. I will repeat this upon John another time. Title 18, United States Code, annotated Section 31. It's called the Definition of Motor Vehicles and Aircraft. First of all, I am a private pilot, and I also used to be a commercial driver, but I gave up my commercial license in 96 because I found out of all this fraud going on. A driver is listed as somebody in that section under Title 18, United States Code, annotated 31, that is for hire only. So if you're got a vehicle, key word is another thing is a vehicle. The word vehicle in its definition indicates it's part of the commercial realm. So the whole thing about it is if you have a vehicle that's brand new that you buy and you have a thing called a manufacturer's certificate or statement of origin and you have that with a bill of sale, you have now completed under the Uniform Commercial Code a proper transfer, common law and statutory, from one party to the other. The dealer's job is they have a title clerk. The title clerk has a duty to make sure that all people in New York State sign an MV-82 saying we will pledge our vehicle to the state of New York, so the state of New York can now issue a title, so they're the owner to the at the top of the document means that they're the creator owner, and then you're the co-owner, and then you have to have insurance, registration, inspection, and a driver's license.
How do you go about the driver's
license is a commercial license.
How do you go about getting that certificate of title? Is that destroyed?
No. It's called a manual.
I mean, that certificate of title, certificate of origins.
Okay.
Yeah.
The way I can tell you from the state of New York, being a mechanic and fleet manager for over 30 years, is you go to your dealer in the state of New York, and I imagine this might work in other states, is you go to the dealer in New York State is required to hold on to a certified copy of the color of the front and back of the MSO upon the purchase of buying it at the dealer for 5 years. All you got to do is go back to that dealer at some point in a polite manner and say, I'm moving out of state and the state that I'm moving to won't give me a title because there's a discrepancy on the VIN number. Can you please give me a copy of a thing that they told me to get was an MSO? manufacturer statement of origin or a manufacturer certificate of origin, depends on which year, and you get a copy of that and you ask them to certify it. That means to certify that copy of the original copy. All they got to do is make a copy of it, color, and then have the notary stamp it with the notary, and guess what? You now consider that you are a holder in due course of law because you hold a copy of the original. So the assumption is you hold the original too. Now you don't even have to register, license, insure it, or even have a driver's license. But you got to remember, they'll say that it's public roads. Well, if we're sovereigns, those roads are public. They're public to everybody. So
that's fascinating.
What makes them think it's their roads? We're the one paying the taxes on it to have it repaired and this and that and whatever else. To me, my favorite thing is when the cop comes to me and he says to me, well, you don't have any driver's license, registration, and insurance. And I says, and can I ask a question? I says, this vehicle is not property of any state, because see, as soon as you license a vehicle in any state, that is now considered a trust from one state to the other called reciprocity. So that's considered corporate to corporate to corporate. So if you happen to be in New York and you have Kentucky license plates, the assumption is that the vehicle's already been pledged to the state of Kentucky, and the state of Kentucky has an agreement with the state of New York saying, hey, if your vehicle's in the state of New York, it has to meet the laws of Kentucky as well as New York.
Mm-hmm.
So if you understand the reality of this, Title 18 has some good in my book and some bad, Jen, and I had talked about this.
Right, I remember. Yeah, and we've been looking at it for other reasons too, because we use Title 18 and 42 often. But let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You mentioned on New York law, on the CPLR, and around the 8,000s. I'm in there right now. I'm looking at it, and I'm not seeing – I see like – it starts off with 80, 81, 82, 83, all the way up to 86. And
okay.
80, for instance, is 8001. So it's
right,
8,000.
Okay. You got to remember, the way that they do it in the civil practice laws and rules, first of all, any kind of common law action is not a criminal action, because criminal means there has to be a tort seizure, or a tort means doing a wrong to somebody. It's usually a civil-related action. Maybe I have the section wrong, but the CPLR goes by four digits usually, so you'll find
right.
8,000, 8,001, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. If you
right.
go back into there, John, and you look a little further, I might be wrong. It might be 7,000 section. It might be 6,000 section.
Right, well, next time we talk, I see something here in habeas corpus in 7,000. That might be it.
Now you're into the right section.
Yes.
Yes, you are. And you've got to remember, okay, New York State has a thing called NYCRR. That's New York Code of Rules and Regulations. If it's the judiciary section, it's section 22. So if you ever want to look up something, you go to section 22 of the NYCRR. And then for me, my favorite thing is I like to pull on them. I like to say, well, the cop's practicing law without a license. Now, hang on a second. Let's ask ourselves a serious question. If somebody's practicing law without a license, that means they're committing a felony and they're doing their job. Because, see, lawyers have to be licensed to do their job because they're using licensed or copyrighted materials. How does a police officer who never went to law school, pass the bar, get to have the privilege to be able to use that type of law and then write up the traffic tickets and all kinds of other instruments to
right.
So the way I look at it is if you ever get a chance to look up the unauthorized practice of law, and it's not going to be that easy to find, you will find it in the 22nd of NYCRR. And what you do is you create an immediate controversy. The cop issues you a ticket. So what do? Is you gladly take the ticket with a smile. Me, I like to put a camera in the car with a microphone so this way I can protect myself to some point. And then turn around, and then once I get the ticket in hand, then I make a copy of the ticket. And you got to remember, if you protest the ticket, okay, that means you are joining the ticket. You're agreeing to the name and the information on the ticket being correct. My situation is, no, I'm not agreeing to anything at all. The cop's practicing law without a license, and he has no right to do that. His job should be he should find out who it is, get to collect the information as an investigator, and give it to the district attorney. That's the proper way to do it.
Well, so absolutely.
Really,
but by the way, you know, what we found is that you have to be registered with the state in order to practice as an attorney. And the attorney can represent infants and morons, you know, people with that have mental problems. But the point is that they look at all of us as being morons or infants, and that's how they get to us. But ultimately, we found that there is no license in the state of New York, but there's two registries. Well, you're going to correct me in a minute, but let me just tell you what we found. We found that there's two registries, that the Bar Association registers, and that's what they mostly all go upon. But then they're in New York State, the attorneys register for the purpose of representing wards of the state. Now, what can you tell me beyond that?
Basically, you got to realize something. What's going on is the state is following the federal government under the term of the United States, which, again, as I stated, is a corporation who's the owner of the British Commonwealth. So the whole thing about it is the British Commonwealth, because we're in a bankruptcy, the United States is in a bankruptcy status, we always owe money to who? The creditors. So the creditors could be the IRS. The creditors could be the IMF. It could be the Federal Reserve. It could be wherever it is. The only job is that they're concerned about is making sure that we're always in debt servitude as being slaves to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is the idea is if you want to deal with the cop, my favorite thing is this, John. I'm going to make this as a strong suggestion. This is for everybody. If you get a chance, contact Matthew Bender Company. They can sell you a book called Title 18 United States Code. And the Title 18 book, it's 50, 60 bucks roughly. You can even buy an older one. Carry that book, highlight the sections, and save them. And when the cop pulls you over, the cop's going to claim his authority or her authority by the gun and the badge. You say, well, Jesus, I have a problem. I'm a law student, and my law professor just told me that I have to go by this and this section. By the way, Mr. Officer, I don't want to hold you back from your duties, but I have an obligation to ask you, because you've already went to criminal justice school, supposedly, what does this mean? Bring up Title 18, Section 31. Say, see here, says right here in the federal criminal and code and rule book, it says Title 18, Section 31, it says somebody is in a commercial activity to being paid for the transportation of cargo, goods, or passengers. As you can see, I'm not in any kind of a commercial capacity. So since I'm not in a commercial capacity, then I question your reason for stopping me. Well, now they'll turn around and say, well, it's because you got a light out or whatever. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, so you're going to charge me with a crime or a violation because of a traffic, because of a light being out? If you want to issue me the ticket, it's fine, but I want to inform you, I'm going to go to the judge and the prosecutor and ask the same question because I have that right to do that. I have the right to go and ask a question and to get a damn answer. The law system has taught everybody that to ask questions and then you, that's the cop. The cop's taught to ask questions and to get an answer from you. Well, what happens when you give them an answer and you give them a reply, which is not an answer, a question to their question? All of a sudden, they're like, oh, shit, we have never had this happen before because you're asking a question with a question. Guess what? They got to come up with the answer.
Yeah, but usually what they do is get angry. But if they realize you know what you're talking about, they get nervous. Other than that, they get angry.
And guess what? I've done it successfully over 100 times.
Oh, absolutely. If you look like you know what you're talking about, they get frightened.
Oh, no. You want to know the job? My job is to educate them.
Well, exactly.
The job is to educate them. Because mean, I've never been on a jury ever in my whole life. Because I'll tell you, if I got my hands in a, if I got into a jury, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm not going to tell them I'm somebody that's learned the law. I'm going to tell them I'm just an automotive and heavy truck mechanic. They're going to figure I'm dumb. So I'm going to go into the people, into the thing, and say, hey, I got a question for you. I says,
You need to join our jury pool. You're in New York, right?
But I can assure you, as soon as I can get my teeth on some people here in upstate New York, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to dig into it real good because there's too much BS going on.
It's open all the time to get more people in. A couple of things real quick. I'd like you to send me an email with your phone number because I want to call you in the next day or two. And maybe, do you do Skype?
John, I'm going to tell you. You already have the number, and I will. After I'm done with the call here, give me 15 minutes, and I'll call you back so you already know.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I'm looking for it on my paper because I keep a lot of notes, and I'm not finding it. Maybe it's on this paper. I didn't look on this one.
Well, I'm not at liberty to give it out to the public.
No, I know that.
I'll be happy to refresh your memory because I know you were on a time crunch yesterday. Okay. But the key thing is that we can use the statutes or statutory laws to our benefit.
Absolutely. We agree to that.
I want to explain to you folks, I'm a gentleman in my early 50s. I've been studying state and federal law for 35 years. I am considered one of the top 25 people in the United States that knows the federal criminal code and rules just about by the back of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you could give me a section. You could ask me, let's say, for example, perjury. I'm going to say, I think perjury under Title 18, wow. I think 1691 or 1692 or something like that, and I haven't looked at the criminal code rule book in a long time. Perjury is 2381, section 2381. Under Title 18, let's see here, you got 31, which is deals with motor vehicles. I gave you the codes for mail fraud.
What about Title 26?
You could get IRS on mail fraud, right? That's one of the things I moved against them on is mail fraud.
Okay, listen. Title 26 has to do with CFRs and United States Code Annotated, and that's the IRS. But you got to understand there's two sections. There's 26 and 27.
Right.
26 is the true section of law because originally the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms was to only deal with revenue producing of alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Then all of a sudden they got all crazy and nuts and decided to come out with Title 26. So what they did is when all these corporations, that means businesses you work for, decided that they wanted a federal EIN number, they decided, well, that's a good way for us to tax the employee because we'll tax their wages through the employer. So they get you to sign a what? They get you to sign a W-2. So what I do is I actually turn around and I've gone ahead and I've applied for college online and said, but I'm tax exempt because I'm a full-time student. And when I'm a full-time student, I'm not required to file a tax return at all. Or what I've done in past times is I've made a tax return, but I've just never filed it. In case they want to come back and hit me up with something saying, you never filed. And I said, gee, that's funny. I said, I made under $15,000 a year. I was under the impression by the statutory law of the IRS that I'm not required to file. But if you're telling me I need to file, I said, well, guess what? It just so happens, here's a copy of my return. Guess what? Where's yours? It's supposed to be, because see, they want to get you under penalty of perjury. So what are you going to do? You're going to tattletale on yourself. Bunch of crap.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, what are you familiar with the court of record?
You're referring to New York, or are you talking about referring to federal?
Well, no, common law court of record. Court of record ultimately brings you into the common law procedure. Usually it comes under an action instead of a complaint, and in the filing there's a tribunal, and the judge is a magistrate.
Right. Well, let me give you a quick history lesson. Somebody brought out some terms the other night about Marbury versus Madison, and they brought out some other case common law based. Anything after 1934 is considered statutory based because they used a case called Erie Railroad versus Tompkins. Erie Railroad, as you realize, has to do with Erie, Pennsylvania, and Tompkins has to do with Tompkins, New York, where there was a case going on, and they used that case to turn around and change everything. So they don't want you quoting any kind of common law cases older than 1934. So if you're going to be, you're going to use.
Well, they can not like that, but that doesn't mean that we, the people, have to obey either that those group of individuals or any statutory positions that they might bring up. It's irrelevant to the people. You know, the Declaration of Independence is older than that, and we hold that up as common law because it is. It's the first common law document of our country. You know, of our union, our nation, and.
And John, yeah. What about Marbury versus Madison?
You're going to have to tell me about it.
Well, I thought Marbury versus Madison was referring to that if any law is repugnant
to the Constitution, it's null and void. Okay.
Exactly. Then it is void and null from its inception.
Exactly.
Right.
So there it is right there. What year was that? What year was Marbury in?
5 U.S. 137.
5 U.S. 137.
Yeah, 5 U.S. 137 is a stat number.
Okay.
You might want to go do some researching on findlaw.com. Believe me, I'm telling you, I got so much information to study. I got so many. I got a book that's called A Speeding Subpoena. It's an actual book that specialists from a guy in upstate New York that specializes in DWI cases, and it's a speeding subpoena. You serve it upon the district attorney in the court, and they have 6 months to answer. And if they can't answer all of these questions in 6 months, the case goes bye-bye, and they got to pay you $50.
Uh-huh.
It's a speeding subpoena, and the speeding subpoena only asks is this. You, the cop, got certified by somebody else. Okay, now produce me the books and records of who trained you, the person that trained them. Oh, by the way, I want to see the records of the radar gun. I want to see the FCC license, and I want to see all of the records from when the gun was put into service new that has been maintained and updated all that time. Guess what?
So you beat him through overloading them.
It's called section of the New York State law called CPL 3030, criminal procedure law, which is called speedy trial. Under speedy trial, that's in federal, that would be Title 18, Title 28, United States Code annotated, I think it's 1361 or 1381, deals with speedy trial. So the whole idea is all you do is you paperwork them to death. You
mm-hmm.
nail them immediately because everything's gone to Administrative Procedures Act, and that's under Title 5, United States Code annotated 552. So what happens is for me is when I got this cop that issues me a ticket, I turn around and I go to the prosecutor and I tell the judge, I say, hey, look, they're practicing law without a license. We have a controversy here. The controversy has now been passed on to who? Not the district attorney, the attorney general for the state of New York. He has 45 days to rule. If he doesn't rule in 45 days, then guess what? I get to automatically circumvent the whole state and go to federal court because he's not doing his duty. That's where a writ of quo vanto comes into place because, hey, you're supposed to be doing your duty and you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Let me digress here.
Yep.
Findlaw.com.
Yep.
What do they charge? Do they charge for access to that?
No, they don't charge any access to it, but you will have limited research and limited resources to get to. My personal suggestion to anybody who wants to deal with this stuff is talk to a law firm or a paralegal. I know in New York State that if you go to any of the appellate libraries, that they either have access to Westlaw or they have access to LexisNexis.
Right, right. I was using FastCase for a while.
And it's free. free. So take some time to go to your appellate library, which is the best way to do it.
Right, but then you'd have to do your research at the library, right?
Well, no, see, the way I look at it is this. When you're at the law library and you want to look up stuff, you can do it two different ways. You can look up a case online, then you can actually go to the law librarian and ask, do we have this book, you know, this particular site? Let's say it's 5 U.S. 137. Do we have the book in the library? They will take you up to the book. You can pull the book out, and you can make copies of it right there in the law library.
Right. Yeah, I've done that already. But you know, I'm in research so often that I to go down to the law library every time I'm doing research is kind of tough. I was using Fastcase for a while, and it's pretty cheap, but. Yeah, it was okay.
Well,
it worked.
Well, all I can tell you is that if you want public records, right now LexisNexis has the contract with the federal government for all public records. That means any of your credit reports, driver's licenses, let's say you have a pilot's license that's on there, any name changes, social security number, driver's licenses that you've ever had in all the United States, LexisNexis holds all that stuff in their database.
Right.
Completely and exclusively. I don't necessarily agree with the way that they, how they deal with shepherdizing, but they're in the process of changing that. I sort of like Westlaw better, but there's going to be some changes there. See, Westlaw, if anybody knows anything about law in upstate New York, there used to be a company called Lawyers Cooperative Publishing. Lawyers Cooperative Publishing was out of Rochester, New York, which is sort of where sort of my home base was out of. And I used to have an account with them, so I used to buy my books from Lawyers Cooperative Publishing. All of a sudden, West Group decided to buy Lawyers Cooperative Publishing. They had a problem. Lawyers Cooperative Publishing had United States Code annotated, but West had United States Code. So the Department of Justice says, hey, you can't have both. So they basically gave United States Code to who? LexisNexis. Here's your present. We'll take United States Code annotated. And they sucked the whole thing right up.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want United States Code annotated, you have to get it from West.
West is very expensive.
You ain't kidding, it's very expensive. I got a cousin that's a research lawyer up there in Minnesota, and up to Minnesota for them.
Yeah. All right, well, let me let other people get in. I appreciate your time here, and you've been very informative, and I do want to talk to you soon. You know, maybe in the very near future we can have you as a guest and just focus in on some of these things.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question. How do I mute myself off of this, or does your moderator sort of do that?
Okay, yeah, I'll do that. What are you coming in? Were you coming in NW New York or NE New York?
No. What do you mean as far as me? You mean coming into the group, you mean, or as far as my...
Yeah, I'm looking here to see who to mute.
Hey, John.
Just keep talking, and I'll try to mute you. Go ahead. Give me a count, and all of a sudden...
I'd like to invite this gentleman to come on to our show tomorrow night, High Court Authority.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this much, okay? I would be interested in it, but what's the deal with tomorrow night's thing going on, too, for the, committee?
Yeah, we got the meeting. Yeah, we got the meeting on the grand jury presentation tomorrow at 7 p.m.
Exactly.
So, but you guys should exchange information. I can get you the information from him, Tom, and pass it to you later.
Connect us if you would, John, because I would like to get him. I go to court Thursday, and I'd like him to give us a few ideas of some things we might play with.
I got 37 people going to be on that call tomorrow night. I need to be there with that call tomorrow night.
Oh, absolutely. That's okay. That's okay. That's fine.
Give me a call. Give me a call tomorrow, and I'll pass his information to you tomorrow. Okay? Just give me a call.
Okay. I'll be in there, but I'll catch you probably somewhere in Denver.
Yeah.
I'll give you a call.
Yeah, give me a call from anywhere or whatever, and anytime you can, and we'll talk. So.
Awesome.
And
this gentleman is very brilliant. We appreciate him sharing with
Benjamin, we're going to talk maybe tonight or tomorrow or something soon. Give me a call,
John,
okay?
John, are you able to see my phone number or no?
I don't remember. I'm not right now. I can't. No.
No, I'm just saying. Okay. Well, I was just going to say, if you look under 321 area code, then you would find me. But I didn't think I'd put. I see. The problem is with. I don't think that I did *82, which means my number wouldn't have come through anyways.
Oh yeah, no, it wouldn't come through this system. We wouldn't see it here. No.
Okay.
I'll look on my. You called me on Skype though, right? Well, you called me on 233 number, right?
Could I ask Benjamin one question?
Yeah, go ahead. Ask Ben.
Go ahead.
In the second edition of Blacks,
yes, sir.
When you get a spare minute to yourself, mm-hmm. look up apportionment.
Apportionment?
Yes.
Okay, now that's, if I remember correctly, is that the 1910 edition?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind to pass that information on to John and have John email that to me so I can make sure that I've got the right page and I've got the right wording, because you've got to remember something. See, Black's Law is what we call the Book of Uniform Commercial Code. The term Uniform Commercial Code basically deals in all uniform controlled contracts. So
mm-hmm.
your banking laws is under Article 3. You know, your basic construction of how the UCC works is under Article 1. You've got Article 9, which means if you want to do accelerated judgments, like say, for example, in New York, if you have a car that's not a titled car, that means it's a 1972 and older, you can't put a lien on the car. Wrong. You can put a lien on the car through a UCC. But to do that, you have to put down a secured party. The secured party is the common law person or individual in UCC. Then your debtor is considered your corporation side of you. That's where you can turn around and you can make yourself two different parts. That's where you get it. Find in law that you are a common law individual, person, citizen, however you want to work that. But that's called the secured party. So
yeah.
I hold a security or secured interest in this piece of property. So if this guy takes the car and sells it, I still hold an interest no matter where that goes down the road. Believe me, it's a very messy road.
And by the way, I think I found your number. Your last two digits on your number is 49, right?
Hold on a second.
Oh, you got to look too, huh?
No. When you said the last two is 49, no, I think you might have to refer to it as 01.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't got it then. Yeah, I'm looking all over. You'll call me later, and I'll get your number, and we'll talk. But,
you do have it, but it ends with 01.
Okay.
After the call is done, it's fine. How do I mute this?
I'll mute you. So let me see if I get the right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Does he have a website that I can go to?
No, I have no website whatsoever. I don't want to be involved in the website type stuff, but I'm more than happy to do email, you know, at any time. No problem.
Could you email me that PDF file on the Black's Law second edition? Did you say you could do that?
I barely heard the person. Something about they want a copy of Black's Law. What was it? First edition, was it?
No, second edition, the PDF file. You said you could PDF it to somebody.
The person that was talking there was sort of muting in and out. It was really hard to hear what they were saying.
Try it again.
Okay, you said you could email a PDF file of Black's Law second edition.
Yeah,
okay.
You said you can email maybe a PDF copy of Black's Law. I thought you said first edition, but he said second edition.
Well, okay, here's usually what I prefer to do, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody. I prefer to take and make them a copy on a CD.
Okay.
And send them the whole CD so they can do whatever they want with it. The only thing I request is that they pay me $1 for the CD and the postage.
Okay.
If you send
me a copy, I'll get it to everyone else.
Well, that's fine. My whole situation is that you must realize we all have expenses on things, and
absolutely.
We all need to,
agree.
Can I get your email?
Right. All I'm trying to say is that anybody that's got something that they want me to help them with something, go contact John for the time being, because you have John's information, and then John and I will make it. We'll make a connection in the next day or two here to get that all squared away.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I'm from California, but I was born in Ohio, and I'm living in Columbus right now, right in California.
Yeah, you're coming in broken up. Are you on a speakerphone?
No.
No, fine. Try it again. Are you a caller on the cell?
From California, but I was born in Ohio, and I'm living in Ohio right now. And
right.
When I did in California, I was a process server. So if anyone here needs something served in the Columbus area, especially on a government entity, I'll do it for free.
Yeah, what county are you in? What state are you in? Ohio?
Ohio. Yeah.
Okay. If you want, you can have your name listed on Ohio, and you can work with us to help other people and to build the grand jury in Ohio.
No problem. I'm going on your website as soon as we get done with this conference call.
All right. Yeah, I don't know whether – have we spoke before, or is this the first time?
Yeah, no. We spoke about Richard McDonald.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. I remember.
Okay.
But you're
all
probably
right,
talking to many people, John. So
I tell you what, I must speak to 20 people a day around the country. I mean, I get a lot of calls. And then I get people from New York, too. I mean, so I'm always
right.
on the email or the phone. And after a while, it's hard to remember who's who and what's what. You know?
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
All right. Anybody else got anything? Mics are still open here. I mean, just raise your hand and we'll open your mic. Benjamin, are you still with us or did we get you muted?
Busted.
We must have gotten him muted.
John, you should shut the recording because it's almost 10:30.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is getting late. All right, let me end the recording. Everybody hang on a second.